We have met with Home Park quite a bit. We've met with MPUE. We've received recommendations of approval from both of them. You know, this site is what has been always, we've always been told it's the downtown of Home Park. It is in need of redevelopment. To change the front of the property to low density mixed use doesn't impact the zoning on the site because it doesn't enable you to redevelop the entire property. Looking at the staff report, I'd like to note a couple of either inconsistencies or just incorrect information. Under the conclusions under point number two, around the middle, it comments on low density residential uses across the street on Lawrence Street. The purple that you see across the street is townhomes and single family. They have a mixed use CDP designation. They do not have a low density residential designation, nor would they fit in one. Their density is 0.921 FAR. They're actually high density residential if you were to categorize them as a residential category. So I think it's disingenuous to say that they are low density residential. Similarly, looking on the last page of the staff report, it notes the requirement to preserve single-family detached residential neighborhoods against encroachment by non-residential or incompatibly scaled development. Again, immediately north is not single-family detached, and neither is it around there. So we would ask you support it.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Next, we have, I see this is Sorrow. Is it Mel or, I'm sorry.
I think we may go a little bit out of order, if you don't mind, just because it was when we all arrived. But
okay, sure.
You've got a couple of attorneys in the group and some other neighbors that want to speak. So if you don't mind, I'm Shay Roberts. I'm on the list.
Okay.
I'm an attorney here in Atlanta. My address is 945 East Paces Ferry Road. And I represent Georgia Representative Ronnie Mabra, who's here this evening, who resides at 1225 State Street, okay. which is essentially some of the yellow diagonal from this property across the street. Let's see, is your house on the next block? So the yellow houses, State Street is running on that eastern side there, and he's in one of the yellow houses in the low density single family homes that we're talking about. And he and many of his residential neighbors in Home Park are opposed to this CDP amendment. Although the neighborhood and the MPU voted to approve, I think there were 32 residential neighbors that voted to oppose. There were lots of businesses that came and voted to support it, and that's what carried the vote. And someone else may be speaking as to some of the inconsistencies and practices within those votes. But tonight, I just wanted to address the specific criteria that you all are supposed to consider when evaluating whether or not a proposed land use change should occur. And this proposal for a seven-story, 275-unit apartment complex with 12,500 square feet of commercial and a parking deck is completely incompatible with at least these interior single-family residential neighborhood. They spoke about the fact that we need to update these things. The history of this is that many of these neighbors have spent the last 20-plus years collaborating with the Atlantic Station developer, the City of Atlanta, Georgia Department of Transportation, federal EPA, state EPD, the Atlanta Regional Commission, and other local authorities regarding the Atlantic Steel Brownfield redevelopment. That's where all of this came into play, and its surrounding streets. And it has resulted in many of these representatives spending thousands of hours drafting numerous documents and legislation, including but not limited to the Tax Allocation District Ordinance, the Atlantic Steel Redevelopment Plan. There were 41 zoning conditions that were incorporated in the Atlantic Station Rezoning Ordinance, and the Home Park Master Plan. Much of the language in all of these documents and ordinances were incorporated almost verbatim into the city's Comprehensive Development Plan. Specifically, as it relates to Home Park, within the 16th Street McCaslin Corridor, the reason that area hasn't changed in 20 years is because they carved out this area and said what they wanted in this particular single-family neighborhood, and that was to let height and density build gradually, not abruptly, to complete existing neighborhood fabric through single-family developments. Is that my time?
Is that our new timer?
That's wow, that was fast. Okay.
So if you can just give us a final one or two statements, that way I can...
Okay. So to what she said, it was specifically carved out for that reason. As it relates to the traffic calming, there were lawsuits that were initiated against the city because all of these ordinances said we want to maintain the residential nature of these streets. And when that came in, cars were speeding, so there were traffic calming measures that were put in at 16th Street to preserve this residential neighborhood. That has been the intent of the city and all these organizations, and the staff has recommended a denial of the residential portion, and we support staff's recommendation. They are reasonable and understand development on 14th Street, and so they're not opposed to the land use plan change, or Bondi's not, to the land use plan change on the 14th Street parcels.
Gotcha. Thank you, Ms. Roberts. And so... is everybody, so that I can just have an idea who's coming up. So,
right, sure.
So you and then who would be next?
I'm Mary Carol Cooney. Okay. I live at 380 Robin Hood Road in the city of Atlanta.
Gotcha.
And I am here tonight on behalf of homeowners within the affected area. And just whether they want to speak or not, I'd like to ask the persons who have come here from North Home Park who are against the CDP waiver to identify themselves. Yes. But I am here very specifically because I am the attorney who brought the two lawsuits in 2002 and 2003 where the city of Atlanta tried to slide by the federal and state requirements for preserving the character of Home Park. The city prior to that time recognized that the Atlantic Steel redevelopment had the potential of destroying a very viable single-family residential area. It wasn't that we did not desire connectivity with the Atlantic Steel redevelopment area. I go there. There's plenty of connectivity. What we asked to have implemented were measures so that these single-family homes on what you will see if you go there, and I invite you to go there, our narrow residential street did not get destroyed by traffic from the Atlantic Steel development. In order to protect their neighborhood, these neighbors or their predecessors became participants in a transportation control measure, which is a federal policy intended to limit and control traffic. They became participants in the federal brownfield tax allocation district and participants in a state implementation plan, which is part of the Region 4 transportation plan and which addresses traffic flow and management not only within the Atlantic Steel redevelopment itself, but in the surrounding areas. And Ms. Roberts has aptly characterized that, but let me say something else. 14th Street is kind of a dividing line. Yes, there have been developments on the other side of 14th Street, but on this side of 14th Street, between 14th Street and Atlantic Steel redevelopment area, these protections are in place today to protect this neighborhood. And what I noticed with Ms. Hill's remarks and Ms. Lavender's remarks, there is no mention of the litigation. There is no mention of the summary judgment that was issued in favor of the neighborhood. There is no mention of the transportation control measure or the state implementation plan. And whether those are relevant, I submit to you that they are, and that no action ought to be taken until those are taken into account. I have letters saying essentially what I've just said, but also appending the most recent letter from Region 4 EPA saying they're still relevant.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Pace will grab those documents from you, or if you want to make copies. All right, thank you for your comments. Who's next? We have a lot of people signed up. Was everyone intending to speak, or was it just going to be? All right. Mm-hmm. State Representative Ronnie Maybrook, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good evening.
I would have recognized you earlier, but I wanted to make sure that I stayed impartial as you're a part of this, as you're a landowner. I didn't want to do anything that would be out of order, but thank you for your service, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I come before you in opposition to this measure. I wanted to bring your attention to a few issues that I found dealing with this matter. One, that there is a SIP in place, a state implementation plan, and we also have the TAD in place as well, but I wanted to find out what the SIP means, the state implementation plan. It is state law, and the EPA has been involved, and I received a letter, and it should be in the record, about the protections that are in place for Home Park. And I think it would be wise, until we get more clear information from the EPA and also the EPD, which actually controls the SIP, the State Implementation Plan, to give us direction and guidance to prevent any type of wrong directions that we may go down and prevent litigation over a matter that they haven't really set the record straight as to what can and cannot be done. Per the SIP, this type of request cannot be done. The other side says it can, but we don't have a clear ruling from them. We do have court cases from before the summary judgment that Mary Carroll talked about, but it hasn't gone up on appeals or to the Supreme Court, so you can say it's actual case law at that point. But we do have a ruling and precedence there. And so I just want to caution and bring to your attention that there is state law, and I have written a letter, and I can provide you with a copy of that letter to the EPD saying, hey, you all are in control of this SIP. What does this mean, and how does it apply? Because we don't want any problems down the road. And also, to perfect the record so everyone understands, my wife actually owns the residence. As many lawmakers, they come from across Georgia, and they have places in town. And so I spend a lot of time on State Street in Home Park. And this was brought to my attention along with the SIP and other transportation control measures that are in place. And I said, hey, this is something that I want to make sure is done the right way and that we bring it to the attention of the proper people. So I do spend time on State Street and a lot of time when we're in session, but I do reside in Fayetteville at 155 Thornton Court. That is my primary residence, but I do spend a lot of time, of course, since I am in the legislative session, and of course I have a law firm that is in Home Park as well. Thank you for your time and attention to this matter.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Who else would like to speak? Okay.
My name is Rhonda Wilcox McCurtain. I live at 1232 State Street Northwest in Atlanta 30318. And I'm also a lawyer, but I'm not here to talk about the law. I'm here in my role as a resident of Home Park who has lived there now for 355 days. And we bought our house because we thought we were going to be in a neighborhood. And those purple things are houses. The house that you see right there on the corner is on the market right now for $700,000. It's a beautiful home. And who do you think wants to buy a home across from 275 apartments? We used to live on Myrtle Street between Ponce and North, and the condo that I bought in 2003 gradually was surrounded by apartments and retail and restaurants. And if you're a certain age or of a certain youth of heart, that's probably where you want to be. It's hustling and bustling and lively, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, it is rocking. And we didn't want to rock at 2 o'clock in the morning, so we moved to Home Park. And we moved to our neighborhood because it was an established neighborhood. It breaks my heart to think that our forever home is 10 beautiful homes away from 275 apartments. And I appreciate the staff for seeing that. I think our entire neighborhood agrees that developing 4th Street with a lot of cute restaurants to join the cute restaurants that are already there and cute retail and all that, that's a worthy cause, and we can stand behind that. We will support those businesses. But we're a neighborhood. And the homes that have gone up there in the last few years have been homes. The last five homes built there in late 2015 are single-family homes. And this neighborhood can still be a single-family home neighborhood. And it should. And I hope that I still get to live there. I think y'all's decision about whether or not we remain a neighborhood will make the difference in whether or not this is our forever home. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. Wilcox. Next is... Well, go for it.
May I?
Yes, you may. We're all out of order at this point, so y'all just... Come up as Will and just tell me your name.
Hi, longtime listener, first time caller. My name is Lawrence Friedman. I live at 1039 Atlantic Avenue, and we have had the home since 1996. And over the years, that we've seen a lot of positive growth and a lot of positive improvements in the neighborhood. And one of the reasons why is, as she specified, it's a neighborhood with families. Now, I could wax poetic about traffic in Atlanta. We're all very aware of this. And any developer would probably tell you that the best thing for anywhere in Atlanta is to put as many people there as possible. There is no way that 14th, McCaslin, State, Atlantic can handle a 30-fold increase in residences. It just literally can't. It also bears mentioning that the developers who want to do this are also putting in 300 plus units about a mile down 14th towards Northside Drive. So, over the course of a year, we're going to see an increase in residences by about 600. There's no neighborhood in the city of Atlanta that can handle that. And the big worry is that it's going to be the first thing that's going to allow further encroachment and further large development, which is, as we all know, Atlanta is pretty well known for a lot of really distinct neighborhoods. You know, it's less a big city, and it's a collection of very characteristic places. And once this kind of development happens, and then more development happens, and then this sets precedence that down towards 10th Street, on State, someone could tear down a couple of houses and put up even more, because once you start this precedent of going against the long built and the very hard fought development plan to keep it single family homes, we all know what happens when developers see that they can put a lot of money making homes in a neighborhood. So I just wanted to point out that beyond all of the emotional issues, and nobody living in Home Park is against development. We welcome local businesses, we support them, but it has to be smartly done. But just frankly, there's no way that area can handle, in the course of a year, 600 new residences. It just can't. Think of anywhere that you live. Can you imagine the traffic and just the sheer overhead and the impact that within a mile of your houses, 600 homes went in? And I know that they all qualify as low density, but there's no way to think that 9 single family homes turned into 275 is anywhere the same kind of low density. It's just not. So I know it fits under the categorization, but it's very bad math and it just doesn't make sense. So think about how you would feel if someone developed around 600 or so homes a mile from where you live. And that's what we're considering. Thank you for your time.
Good. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kevin Mobley. I live at 1185 State Street, which is right across the street from the apartment complex they're proposing. Back in 1994, I came down to go to graduate school at Georgia Tech, and I moved in from Washington, D.C. I lived in Fairfax and lived in the district itself. I bought the home while I was in school with the intent of going back to D.C. After living in the home for 3 years, I decided to stay in Atlanta because my friends who lived in D.C. couldn't afford a home in a centrally located neighborhood as a starter home, for example. My wife and I, we pumped probably $500,000 in improvements to that house since we purchased it. We've done a lot of front. You drive down the street, you'll notice the house right away. It's the blue house right across the street. Inside the house, we've done a lot of work. And a lot of folks ask me all the time about me living in Atlanta, and I say, well, I live in a great neighborhood. I'm 13 minutes from the airport. You're not going to find this not only in most places in Atlanta. Frankly, you won't find it in most cities around the country and around the world. I travel a lot, so I have a chance to see a lot of things. As the gentleman said before, there's just mathematical problems with the whole idea of replacing those nine family homes. We have what we think is the beginning of what the blueprint was trying to do. As you know, we had a little thing called a recession back in 2007. The master plan came into play a few years before that. Big development was done right across the street right after that master plan. Now we're starting to see a lot of resurgence of interest in our neighborhood. And we know that this part is going to get developed because we have the best looking street, frankly, in Home Park. But the rest of Home Park's coming along. And I mean, when I say that, I'm saying a mixture of both new homes that have been put in plus folks that have come in and renovated existing homes. And we know that those homes across the street are going to get renovated. In fact, I've talked to some of the folks across the street. And one gentleman was very honest with me. He said, the only reason I sold out is because I didn't want an apartment complex around me. So if you put this apartment complex in there, it's not only going to affect those of us who live right across the street, but it's going to begin to open up the floodgates for Home Park, because there are lots of developers, and I've listened to some others who are very interested in Home Park because of how centrally located we are. And I just think it's horrible precedence, and as well as the fact that it takes away from not only the master plan, but a bunch of us who frankly have invested a lot of money, and we did it for all the love of the neighborhood. You know, there's all the lawsuits and the SIP and all those kinds of things, and we believe that matters. But frankly, as a homeowner, I just love where I live, and I don't see the purpose of putting more apartment buildings. We already have lots of new apartment buildings coming up in our neighborhoods. Not, I mean, over further away from this particular track, but, you know, closer over to where Northside Drive is. So it's not like there aren't apartment buildings. But this particular area, to take those nine parcel tracks, the five on State Street are well-kept homes. They're not the ghetto. In some of the meetings, people were throwing up all kind of loaded terms about those neighborhoods, those streets. It's not like that at all. Those homes right across from me, I raised my son in this house. I just had my niece there, who's eight, in my house all weekend. That is not a scary, quote-unquote, neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood, a beautiful street, and we want to maintain it.
All right. Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Isha Sharma. I stay at 384 16th Street Northwest, unit number 7. I'm actually at the corner of 14th and McCaslin, up on the purple side. Initially, when I came here, I did not think I was going to speak, but I feel like if I don't, I'm doing a disservice to myself and the people sitting here. We've talked so much about this. When I bought my house 1.5 years ago, I put all my savings into it. I thought I'm going to stay here for a long time. I lived in Atlantic Station before that, and I loved the neighborhood so much that it was just natural for me. I saw a lot of houses, and I went for this one. I bought it. There was a golf course right outside my house where now another building stands, which is also developed by the same developers. I did not know that when I bought the place. Now I look out, and I see stories, 4 or 5 stories of apartments, and there is a lot of noise. There's a lot of people. Believe me, I'm young, I would love to party too, but there's a reason I bought a home is because I don't want to live right next to that. And traffic is already terrible, parking is a huge issue. Crossing the street has become really hard, and I just want to say that all of us have put so much money into our homes. That one development is already there, there's another one that's coming up on 14th, I know a lot of people mentioned that too. Please don't let this one come up too. It's going to really, really change the place we live in. Thank you.
Well, thank you. For those comments, is there anyone else that would like to speak? All right. Good. Don't be shy.
I don't even live in Home Park. So
Dana?
My name is Dana Persons. I live at 986 Myrtle Street. And right now we're embarking on our first master plan. We're one of the last neighborhoods to even go after a master plan. It's a sizable thing that we're going against. It's like $30,000. And I guess my question is to city planning and also to the city council, if a master plan doesn't hold any weight and any developer could come in and encroach on single family homes and they can build any type of development, then what is the use of a master plan and should we spend that money? And Ms. Lavandier lives in Midtown, and so she understands that we're going to spend all this money. So, and I applaud that the city is actually only going to develop the 14th Street or allow the development of the 14th Street corridor, because we don't really want to cannibalize single-family homes. Midtown's a lot like Home Park, and we have a ton of single family homes. We're surrounded on four sides by commercial or public properties, so we understand that this could happen to us, and so I just want to make sure that when we do embark on this master plan, that it's going to be codified and that it's going to be supported by the City Planning Department and also by the City Council. That's it.
All right, thank you, Dana. Do we have any speakers? Yes, sir. Are you speaking on this item number four?
Well, I'm speaking as someone for this development. So
oh, yes. No, you for or against can speak at this meeting. Have you signed up already?
Yes, I have.
What's your name?
Jeff Sadiq, and I live at 1280 Atlantic Drive. And like many of the residents over here, I'm a passionate member and resident of Home Park since the late 90s. We too have put in $500,000 in our home, just as Kevin has maybe put into his as well. So we have a lot of economic investments into this area. And like Ronnie, you know, we walk the streets all the time, my wife and I, and it's a lovely area. We go from Atlantic Station to Georgia Tech to Piedmont Park, all the way to that perimeter that we're talking about doing this new development. And a couple of things I'd just like to point out for the record, so at least we're clear on some things. This vote passed through Home Park March 1st, 44-32. That same night it also passed through MPUE, and it passed with everybody giving the same amount of information that they've given tonight. Everybody's had a chance to participate through this process since beginning of November. I know personally myself, I've given a presentation to our local HOA that butts up right to the tip of the development off Lawrence Street. That was December 8th, to the most recent presentation that we had at that time. A couple of things also. Actually, someone mentioned here 275 apartments. It was actually 300, believe it or not. But I say that in that we're now down to, I think, 250. And I think that's the developer working hand in hand with the community, providing feedback, comments, and other items that they wanted to see how this project could evolve as a benefit to the community. There's some mention over here about lots and homes and whatnot. So just to provide clarification, they're not 9 residential homes, it's 9 lots. One of my colleagues mentioned 9 homes, it's 9 lots, 7 homes. And through this evolution with Home Park and residents, business owners, Pollock agreed to put 4 sale, 7 townhomes to replace the homes that are existing there. That's one point. Second point. 14th Street is a unique area. It's a place that I've called home for a long time, and I'm going to stay here forever. We love the area. We love the amenities, and we like more of them. We think that this, at least with my opinion, and many of the business owners and many of the residents, on the other side also of 14th Street, Home Park is not just State Street on that corner. Home Park goes from I-75, I-85, to Georgia Tech, to 16th Street, to past Howell Mill. So I think it's important we take the sentiment of not only this specific area, that we respect their opinion, but we take the sentiment of the area as a given, as a whole. And I think based on that, the number spoke for itself, 44-32. Well, that being said, we wanted to be respectful of your time, so instead of bringing all 44 people that are for this, we thought we'd just have one person, myself, be respectful of your time. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sadiq. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name's Kathy Bomer. I live at 1235 State Street in Home Park. I've been there since 1997. I've been very involved in the neighborhood. I helped put together the master plan. We had it incorporated into the CDP to ensure that this kind of thing wouldn't happen, that would help protect the neighborhood. That's all I'll say on that. I would like to right now address Mr. Sadiq's comments about this vote. We had a lot of irregularities with this vote. In the 19 years I've been in the neighborhood, we generally only have about 30 to 40 members. mostly residents. We have maybe 3 to 5 business members. That's per year. In the 2 weeks leading up to the vote, our membership skyrocketed to over 100. A lot of these memberships were paid for with anonymous money orders. Some of them were sequentially numbered. They came in without addresses. These money orders, a number of them were dropped off at the land use chair's law office. They were all written in the same handwriting, who they were addressed to, and there were no names associated with them, just some addresses. I was at the vote. I helped check people in. People were coming in who I'd never seen before in the neighborhood. They said they were there to represent various businesses. These people didn't live in the neighborhood. They didn't understand why they were there to vote. They were just told to make sure they voted for the right side. This was, if all of these people hadn't been there, the vote would have gone a completely different direction. 32-42 is not that big a difference, and if we hadn't had all these irregularities with the membership, and there was a drive that was put on behind the scenes, but we'd never, ever seen these people. So to Mr. Sadiq's point that the vote was, you know, overwhelming in favor of the development, I think that's very misleading. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a separate question. Is Paul Fortson still y'all's president? Okay. Just had a clarifying question. Paul, okay. Anybody else to speak? No? Going once? Going twice? All righty. We will go on to item number 5. Well, Mr. Pace, do you want to just update them again on what's going to happen next so that all these people that spoke today will know the next steps?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So we will substitute this land use amendment at tomorrow's Community Development and Human Resources Committee meeting, and we'll hold the paper. The companion zoning paper was deferred until the April Zoning Review Board meeting. The papers normally travel together. So the CDP amendment will be held in the CDHR committee until the zoning paper is gone before the Zoning Review Board, and I don't expect it. I believe I said April 29th, but I believe it's April 27th. That's probably the earliest that the zoning paper can come before the zoning committee. The CDHR committee meets the day before, which is April 26th, which is a Tuesday at 12:30. The zoning committee meets at 9:30 on the 27th of April. And that's about it, I believe. Sure.
I've told Ms. Shea that I would let her know when the paper was going to be before the CDHR, so you can, or somebody else, I can let you know. That way you know what meeting agenda will be placed on. So you don't need to come to the meeting tomorrow, because there'll be no action taken.
Just wanted you all to have that information. You spent your time coming today. I wouldn't want you to keep coming to meetings that no actual action occurs, but it's good to give your input. So if you do want to come tomorrow, you can give your input at any council meeting. There will be more council members, even though a vote may not actually happen. So all those for and against can do that.
And Mr. Chair, the city council does go on recess in April, so we won't have a council meeting on April 4th. And we won't have any committees meeting the week of April 11th either. So,
All right, we're going on to number 5.
Thank you for your time.
Item number 5, 160-1078, CDP 1604, an ordinance to amend the land use element of the 2011 Atlanta Comprehensive Development Plan so as to designate property located at 314, 324, 328, 336, 354, and 364 Gibson Street and 355 Stovall Street from the medium density residential to the mixed use land use designation and for other purposes. NPUN, Council District 5.
This parcel is being rezoned, and it's part of a much larger development immediately to the west that's mixed use, and the parcel fronts on Memorial and Bill Kennedy Way, and this is Gibson Street that ends into this property. So the proposal is to change the land use from MR3 to MRC3 to allow for the construction of this mixed-use development. And on this site, it will be a multi-story, multi-family development, and it's part of the Leggett & Platt. Right now, the neighborhood is still working with the property owner and the representative to establish what the development is going to look like. So they've requested a deferral of the land use of the rezoning, but are moving forward with the land use amendment. So this has been part of the Reynoldstown redevelopment plan and the Beltline subarea plan, and in those plans, the recommendation has been to redevelop this site as a multifamily, multi-story multifamily development. So that's why it was rezoned to MR3, and also to allow, and the land use was changed to that medium density residential. Ms. Gay shared the concept plan for this site, and it shows a multifamily residential. So it's consistent with the proposed, the recommended use that those plans recommended. However, they're requesting a mixed use land use and a mixed use zoning because it's a much larger development. This is in the in-town corridor character area, and that character area goes from Memorial down to I-20, and it proposes, or it recommends, or has a policy that supports redevelopment of in-town corridor to create a sense of place, a more cohesive community, and also to improve the function of the corridor, and also to have higher densities along the street and then lower density adjacent to residential uses, and to promote redevelopment of vacant and underutilized auto-oriented uses. And these parcels are used as a parking lot for the industrial development that's immediately to the west. So, as I mentioned, the Beltline subarea plan recommended residential 1 to 4 stories, and so did the Reynoldstown redevelopment plan. So staff supports the land use amendment from the medium-density residential to the mixed-use land use designation, and this was deferred by NPUN, and it's going to be at their March meeting.
Okay. Ms. Sharon Gay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Councilmember Norwood, and the A-team, as you said. a nice assortment of staff tonight. Just a few things I want to add that might be relevant to your consideration. Sharon Gay with Denton's U.S., 303 Peachtree Street. I'm here representing Fuquay Development, which is the applicant. I've also done some zoning analysis for Leggett and Platt, the seller of this property. As Ms. Lavendier said, we are seeking to rezone a large parcel, 18-acre assemblage, of which this is a small piece, all of which is now owned by Leggett & Platt and used as light industrial use, so that it can be a mixed-use development right here at this key point at Memorial and Bill Kennedy Way and the Beltline. The bigger parcel is the big purple chunk you see. That's a very precise term, big purple chunk. You see to the left of the orange parcel. The property, the full Leggett & Platt assembly, was the big parcel was zoned industrial back in the early 90s. And then this parcel, although it shows up on the city's lot boundary maps as individual residences, residential lots, as best we can determine, those houses were demolished in the late 80s, early 90s. Gibson Street was abandoned starting at the beginning of this parcel. So Gibson Street no longer exists. So even those addresses exist in the city's records, Gibson Street no longer exists. And all of this is being used as a parking lot for the industrial use and has been that way for several decades. I actually found my signature on the legislation, the transmittal legislation for the industrial zoning, so I know it was done when I was working in the mayor's office. Transmittal sheets haven't changed, right, Mr. Pace, in all those years. So it has really been used as an industrial use for all of this time. It was rezoned, this tract was rezoned, as was noted, to MR3 as part of rezoning of this whole block east of the former Gibson right-of-way, as part of this large rezoning of the Reynoldstown area. what I understand is there was a thought that it might be used for townhomes. Apparently there was somebody who was looking at that, but that development did not happen. When we started looking at this assemblage, we were very mindful of the recommendation that there be multifamily but not be mixed use on this particular parcel, and have worked hard to try to plan it that way. It does not work on its own for townhomes because it has no street frontage, and the Beltline street grid that's recommended for this area would not put that street frontage back. We're showing a street grid slightly differently. So what we're trying to do as part of the mixed-use development is concentrate the residential on this eastern, southeastern corner of the site and have the commercial uses on Memorial and Bill Kennedy Way. That zoning is traveling a little behind the land use amendment, as Ms. Levendier said. We are working, we have a Reynolds Town working group we're working with. Our goal is to present to the full Reynolds Town membership in April and then present to NPUN and their meeting at the end of April, and then ZRB in May. So I would presume you would want to hold this tomorrow in committee until the zoning and the NPU vote catches up with it. It's also a DRI, so we're having to wait on the DRI as well. So appreciate the careful work the staff has done. I know this was sort of a puzzle for them because of some of the history and the way it's actually framed out. But we would submit to you that what's being proposed in the context of the zoning is consistent with what the various plans have envisioned, and hopefully when the time comes, we'll have your support. And I'm here if you've got any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kay. We'll go on to item 6 then.
16-0-1079, CDP 1605, in order to amend the land use element of the 2011 Atlanta Comprehensive Development Plan so as to redesignate property located at 79 Jackson Street from the medium density residential to the high density residential land use designation and for other purposes. NPUM, Council District 5.
This land use amendment is being done in conjunction with the rezoning of the parcel from R5 to MR4 to reflect the existing development of the parcel. The parcel has a multifamily, a two-story small multifamily development that has 8 units, and that based on the existing development, the FAR is would fit a high-density residential land use. And adjacent surrounding this parcel is the parcels are zoned RG4, which is also a high density residential. And this was part of the Auburn Avenue Butler Street redevelopment plan. And the plan called for MR4 zoning for this portion between DeKalb and Edgewood. However, they also recommended a medium density residential, so the plan wasn't consistent. The land use and the zoning weren't consistent with each other. But given that the rest of the majority of the block has an RG4 zoning, and also adjacent to it is not far from where AHA has Auburn Point, and given that it's also developed as to a MR4 high density residential, we felt that that was a reasonable land use request and support the amendment from medium density to a high density residential. And you know, some of the policies that support that is to promote a diversity of housing. And in addition, it's just north of the King Memorial Station, and we've worked very hard with MARTA to increase transit-oriented development around that station. We have policy to support an integrated mix of land uses within walking distance from transit station, and also to support higher density within that quarter mile from a transit station. So this was before NPUM, and they voted to approve, and staff recommends approval amendment from the medium density to a high density residential land use.
All right.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Colvard. I didn't fill out a speaker form.
Okay. Before you, so go ahead on the speak, but
okay,
before you
I'll
leave, I want
out.
You to
I own 79 Jackson Street, Atlanta. And I just wanted to add that we did get, we went before the community and got full approval. There were no objections at all. We went before 4th and Sand and got full approval, no objections at all, and before ZRB, and they supported it with no objections as well. So that's it.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
They made us. No, that's good.
And then, oh, can I ask a question? Yeah. What's next that I need to come to? Do we know?
So, Theo, I don't think it's on the zoning committee tomorrow, so it might be the next one. If it already went to the zoning review board,
you did.
So it'll be placed?
The last Wednesday
In March?
In March, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do I need to go to this?
Yes, Ms. Charlotta Jacks, you had a question? Yep.
So the 19th.
When the mic turns, you want to speak on something?
Yeah, we'll have
okay,
you. I'll
tell
let
me
you
what
know.
I go to uh-huh. next?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll let you know what the schedule from the land use, from the CDHR and the zoning committee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good babysitter. I'm coordinating. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We need a chart, a ZRB schedule. We have one? We just don't have it here. But no, that would be good for people to know, like.
Yeah, it's hard to navigate if you don't know, like, normal person. It's like, what's next? I literally thought it was two things when I signed up to do this. I thought I went to two meetings, like.
Yeah.
Coming again. Here we go. This is, like, number eight.
Okay.
Okay. So you'll be, they will contact you to
okay,
let you know.
Good deal. Thanks. Bye.
Item number 7, 16-0-1080, CDP 1606, an ordinance to amend the land use element of the 2011 Atlanta Comprehensive Development Plan so as to redesignate property located at 1008, 1010, 1014, 1016, 1020, 1026, and 1036 Hampton Street, and parcel ID number 17-0149000. 5162 and 17-0149000-5164 from the medium density residential land use designation to the low density commercial land use designation and for other purposes, NPUE, Council District 3.
This land use amendment is being done in conjunction with the rezoning of the parcel from R5 and C2 to MRC2 to allow the construction of a five-story 96-room hotel and parking, and the case is Z1566. So Hampton Street is on the east side, and Northside Drive is on the west side, and there are a lot of remnants of parcels that fronted on Northside Drive that have been consolidated into one parcel. So I think when Northside Drive was widened, a lot of the parcels, the land for those parcels were taken. So this is really, it's almost like lots that have double frontage on Northside Drive and on Hampton Street. And it's just north of 10th Street. So if you see the pink color, that's a gas station that's on 10th Street between Hampton and Northside Drive. Most of the parcels have a C2 zoning, and some of them have a commercial use. There's, a photo place, an old photo place. There's a few, one or two residential uses, and several of them are vacant. And across the street is a new mixed-use development, a relatively new mixed-use development between 10th Street and 11th Street. So this development will, there'll be a hotel that mainly fronts on Northside Drive. We felt that was an appropriate use for Northside Drive, and given how narrow the area is, it's really difficult to provide a transition to the low-density residential portion of Home Park. Further to the north, we just approved a rezoning to MR3 for townhomes. This was also in the Home Park master plan, but in the plan recommended this area to be the mixed-use district, to the mixed-use character districts, and they defined that as a compact blend of converted industrial building, non-traditional housing, galleries, neighborhood-oriented pedestrian-scale retail. And they show in their illustrative master plan this area to be redeveloped. So this development is consistent with the Home Park plan to transform this portion of the neighborhood. In our comprehensive development plan, the 2011 CDP, this is in the in-town corridor, and as I mentioned, the in-town corridor is along our major corridors, and we would like to see underutilized and undeveloped parcels redeveloped to a more pedestrian-oriented form of development, and to have more activity on the street, and this parcel, the redevelopment to a hotel, will accomplish that. So staff recommends approval of the amendment from the medium density residential to the low density commercial. And I just realized I made a mistake in the staff report, but we support the land use amendment. And this was also before MPUE at their February meeting, and they voted to support the land use amendment.
Okay.
Density commercial.
All right. Well, that's it. If there's nothing else, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Councilmember Norwood, for joining us, and Charlotta Jacks, and Emil Runge.